This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, I'm Cheeseburger, and you're listening to the New Japan Procast.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name's Colin Miller, being joined alongside by Mr. Damon McDonald, and we have got a fun show for you here today. We had a little delay there due to the Easter holiday weekend, but we are back and ready to review this Road to Invasion Attack show that took place on March 27th, Easter Sunday. We're also going to do a preview of the card for next week's Road to Invasion show. And Damon, this is going to be a huge weekend for pro wrestling because a lot of former and current New Japan pro wrestling stars are going to be in the ring having some phenomenal matchups. So this is a very exciting episode of the Purocast, and it's going to be an awesome weekend for pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's in the United States. Dallas is the place to be with the WWE's showcase event, Wrestlingamania.
Never heard of it.
It's a big show, from what I understand, and a lot of fun stuff in Dallas this weekend. So I'm sure there'll be lots of stuff to talk about from a New Japan perspective. Yes, and we're back from a small break, we both forgot it was Easter, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, last week when we were talking about our recording schedule, it didn't even occur to me as I was looking at the calendar that was Easter weekend, which is kind of a big deal in my family. So unfortunately, I was away from the Purocast studios and we were unable to record. But hey, we're here, you know, better late than never. And we're going to have some fun today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was sitting in the studio just kind of like, you know, where is everybody? what's going on? And then Colin sent me the text. We don't do Easter. We don't do a lot of Easter in my family. I know it's big for the Miller family. Miller family gets all into the Easter. But I think, what did I do? I got like a French cut rack of lamb. Yeah, it was good.
Sounds delicious.
Right? Yeah, we did all right. So, but that was about it. That was about the extent of that. And then we, deleted people from Facebook because we got all their annoying kids and they're stupid running around with the eggs. And who gives a shit about that, right?
So, Damon, you're telling me that you don't dye Jushin Thunder Liger eggs?
I would love to, but no.
Penzon eggs?
No.
Kojima eggs?
Nobody's going to eat the eggs, number one, because nobody in my house is going to sit there and eat hard-boiled eggs for 5 days. Especially my wife doesn't want that to happen because I'll be blasting her in. Imagine those stinky bomb farts. Ugh, God, the egg farts. No, we don't give a. Honestly, it's a really boring day around here because not everything's closed, but lots of things are closed. And I don't know. Here's the thing, too, Colin. You don't get off for this holiday. I get that it's a big religious holiday, but like from a pure, you know, have fun kind of day, it's really not a great big day.
It's not like Christmas.
No, it's not Christmas. And here's the thing. It doesn't even have a good feel. You know what I mean? I don't even like how like Halloween has a feel.
I love Halloween. That's my favorite holiday.
It's one of mine. I mean, I don't think we can call it a holiday.
It's a holiday.
You don't get off for it. Like for me, you got to have off. If work closes, that's a holiday.
My dad gets off for like Flag Day.
I know. I hate people who have off. Like we have President's Day here in the States, and like nobody has off except like people who work in like financial institutions and like teachers,
government jobs.
Yeah, but nobody with a real job has off or like Columbus Day. Man, that's a fucking made up holiday. Come on. You know, your Christmases, that's a big holiday, right?
Has a
feel. Halloween even has a feel. Thanksgiving has a feel. Like Easter, the feel, like pastel colors. Ugh. I don't want this. And like these chocolate, these shitty chocolate bunnies. Here's the thing. It's for kids. I get that. But if you don't have kids, it's like, who gives a shit? Go find your own fucking eggs. You know, stupid kids.
Go find your own fucking eggs. a quality quote from Damon McDonald on the PuroCast. Put that one in the books, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't like holidays where you don't have off. That's really number one. That's rule number one. And like all these Hallmark card holidays, like Valentine's Day, it stinks. What else is there? Who cares, right? Here's the thing. There should only be like four holidays. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and 4th of July, or Independence Day, when we finally broke free from the tyranny of
the aliens.
Of those alien Brits. That's it. Those are the holidays. Memorial Day is a horseshit holiday. Labor Day is a horseshit holiday.
What about Halloween?
Halloween's not a holiday. It's not a holiday, Colin. It's an event. It's like a party.
It's a feast.
But here's the thing too. I don't like kids knocking on my damn door. I got to be honest with you. It gets a little annoying.
You don't like anybody knocking on your door. Let's face it.
I fucking hate it. Like when somebody knocks on my door, me and my wife are looking at each other like literally our fists ball up. Like who the fuck's at our door? We're ready to battle. There's no reason for anybody to come to our door. That and like when your phone rings, like your house phone. Do you guys still have a house phone?
Yes, actually, back at the old homestead, we do have a landline, and it rings off the hook.
Really?
Yeah, and it's always, you know, bullshit 800 numbers.
Yeah, there's no reason for my phone to ring in the house. I don't even know why I pay for one, to be honest with you. I think it's because I got a package deal. But yeah, if our house phone rings, like, we're looking at each other like somebody's dead. There's absolutely no reason for our house phone to ring. We don't even get telemarketers anymore. Okay, who cares? We got plenty to talk about wrestling. We're sitting here talking about holidays and booger picking kids, and who cares? Let's go. We got pro graphs to talk about here, Colin Miller.
Yes, we do. And New Japan Pro Wrestling celebrated Easter Sunday by having their Road to Invasion Attack show. Damon, I didn't think that this was a great show.
No.
I don't think that you did either. However, with that being said, I have seen worse Road 2 shows than this one. And you know what? I enjoyed a lot of what I saw.
Here's what happened. I think both of us got really super excited about the prospect of these single matches, right? And who was in these single matches. And I think we kind of got a little bit more excited for it just based off of what was on paper, right? Cork and Hall, singles matches, you know, some of the younger people and some of the guys that are looking to take some spots. Yeah, we're finally getting the spotlight sheened on them. And yeah, I turned off this show thinking this wasn't that great. And in fact, my first initial gut reactions were. A lot of verb tense issues with me today. The initial feeling I got was that was New Japan's first stinker of the year. That was New Japan's first stinker. I wasn't thrilled with anything. I wasn't thrilled with anything. I was okay with a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I was okay with a lot. And again, I think they've had a lot worse Road 2 shows than this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I and this might be just me and us, but I went into this excited and I left meh, you know, and maybe that's just us working ourselves into the proverbial froth. I don't know. I didn't walk out of this with excitement or feeling of, you know, that anything tremendous came out of the show.
Well, why don't we go through the card here and start off with the first match. Tomohiro Ishii, Toru Yano, and Roppongi Vice taking on the team of Kushida, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and David Finlay. So for most of this match, we saw Liger really get worked over until he made the hot tag to Kushida. And the finish had Roppongi Vice hitting the Dude Buster. Still love that name, the Dude Buster, on David Finlay to pick up the win. And we knew that was going to happen. Of course, Roppongi Vice challenging for the IWGP Junior Tag Titles at Invasion Attack. And Rocky Romero got on the mic at the end and did his crazy rant where he repeated Roppongi Psycho many, many times until Trent Beretta had to calm him down. So this was a match, right?
well, here's the thing. The first, I would say, 3 or 4 minutes was really felt slow, like to the point where I don't think anybody took a back bump, you know, for the first 3 or 4 minutes. But with that said, I think it turned into a pretty decent match. I actually enjoyed this match. Not a lot, but it was good for an opening match. I thought it was decent. I don't think that you should, you know, kind of dismiss, not you personally, Colin, but anyone listening should dismiss the fact that Trent Beretta is getting a lot of these pinfalls, right? I mean, the finishing maneuver is designed for him to do so. But yeah, Trent's getting a lot of the three counts here, which is nice. I think we got some good things around the corner for Trent. But yeah, it started slow. I think it was Liger was the first person to leave his feet in this match. And it was like I said, 3 or 4 minutes in. I like the fact, I like when Finlay and Beretta were in the ring together. I thought that was nice. I thought that was good. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was an opening match. You had your, I don't think anybody went into this thinking that the finisher was going to be anything but what we saw. But decent opener, good. Nothing tremendous.
Yeah, exactly. What you said, decent opener. And again, Roppongi Vice picking up the win to build momentum into Invasion Attack. Next match, we saw the team of...
You love this. You, I think you look forward to these old, the grizzled veteran teams.
I
just
kind of do.
Just because you know that I'm kind of cringing sitting at home.
Yeah, as soon, you know, I'm looking at my notes here, and I see the words Tenkozy written in big letters.
You love it. Okay.
So the team of Tenkozy, Yuji Nagata, and Nakanishi taking on Shibata, Taguchi, Juice Robinson, and Captain New Japan. Damon, Yuji Nagata literally kicked Taguchi's ass in this match, literally numerous times.
You know, it's gotten to the point where Taguchi is all, you know, we joke about his ass-based offense, right? That's all he does anymore.
It's 99.9% hip attacks.
It's all. Like I would be thrilled if he just threw an arm bar in there somewhere or a chin lock. I would be thrilled, but it's all this hip attack, ass attack offense. And since this match was shit, guys, we know it. Come on, this was almost laughable shit.
Yeah.
And I love it when Nakanishi he needs an elevator to get to the top rope, because it takes fucking forever for him to finally get his ass up there. And then when he does, it is so anticlimactic. It's like the chop, you know. And he lands. He doesn't even get any distance off the top rope. He's just literally flopping down and landing and hitting a chop.
Well, he's a big man, Damon.
He is a big man. I don't think anybody was walked away with this feeling great about what they just saw. Here's what I did like, though. I will give you what I did like. I kind of enjoy the fact that they are the old veterans all kind of unifying to teach. And some of these guys, when I say these youngsters, you know, Taguchi's been around the block, you know.
Yeah, Taguchi has
been around the block.
He's no young lion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's pump the brakes on these, you know, this old versus new a little bit there, Damon. But it is kind of funny, you know, watching the old grizzled veterans slap the shit out of, we'll just say, younger than them wrestlers. Shibata kind of taking on the entire crew. Look. No one in their right mind would go out of their way to watch this match. But we all knew this going in, that this was all about Shibata kind of taking it to the older veterans, and the older veterans kind of standing their ground and building for the match between Tenzan and Shibata. Yeah,
okay. So we saw Yuji Nagata pick up the win here. I think that he hit a suplex on Captain New Japan. No surprise there that Captain was taking the fall. And then after the match, we saw an intense brawl on the outside between Tenzan and Shibata to build up their match for Invasion Attack. Damon, let me ask you a question. Are you looking forward to Tenzan versus Shibata? I kind of am.
Not really. I'm going to be honest with you, not really. I think there's so many other people that I'd rather see in the ring with Shibata than Tenzan. No, if gun to my head, you want an answer? Nah, that's probably one of the matches I'm looking forward to least come Invasion Attack.
Maybe a better question would be, do you think that we are going to see another one of those rare gems from Tenzan where he really puts on his working boots and delivers?
Well, there's only so many times you can go to the well, you know? There's only so many... I think there's only so many great matches that Tenzan has left in him. This is going to be, you know... I sat here and you know, kind of... I don't want to say laughed at the idea of him having a great match in 2016, but he's had a decent year, and, you know, that last singles match that he had was pretty good. Shibata's got his work cut out for him. Can it happen? Sure, absolutely. But, you know, would I bet the house that this is going to be a great match? No.
You're not going to bet the farm, the old McDonald farm?
No, the old McDonald farm is not on the line here. I'm not putting up the farm. And I think of all the matches on this show, I think this is probably one that most people are kind of like, okay, Let's see what happens here. I can't say that there's a lot of anticipation going in, is there? I mean, are you anticipating? Of all the matches that are on this Invasion Attack show, are you really like looking forward to this one?
No, not particularly. However, one thing that I am anticipating, and it's that question that I asked you: is Tenzan going to deliver? So I think in that regard, this match kind of has my curiosity, because we have seen, you know, Tenzan. I mean, what was the match that we were...
Elgin, right?
Yeah, the one against Michael Elgin. So it is possible for, you know, Tenzan to get in there and pull off a great match. Can he do it with Shibata? Will it be a great match? Well, that remains to be seen. So in that regard, I kind of am looking forward to it a little bit. However, in the grand scheme of things on this Invasion Attack card, no, that's pretty far down the list. But, you know, we'll wait and see. You never know. When we do the Invasion Attack review, we could be talking about this Tenzan Shibata match. Boy, this was the match of the night. four and three quarter stars.
I would love that, because I don't think anybody's expecting that. You know, that would be great. But, well, yeah, I don't know. To me, I think Shibata's got his work cut out for him. If Tenzan can pull it off and scrape out another great performance, I'll be the first to give him the props. But, boy, we're asking a lot. I think we're asking a lot here.
So the theme of this Road to show was New Japan versus Bullet Club. And this next match was the first of that series, with Big Michael Elgin taking on Cody Hall. And my first thought when I saw these two standing in the ring together is, man, Cody Hall is so much taller compared to Michael Elgin. And when Elgin did his vertical suplex spot, it looked like he uprooted a tree and had a tree in the air. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah. Let's talk about this match, because I think a lot of people had this match circled to check and to kind of feel a progress for Cody Hall, right? And I think, well, here's what I'm going to do. Let's say something nice about Cody Hall, Colin. Give me something nice. Give me
He's
something
tall.
Positive. He's tall. He does have a wrestler's build, doesn't he? He does have that physique and build and physical stature that you want in a pro wrestler, or a lot of people want in a pro wrestler. He absolutely has that, without question. Give me something else. Give me one more thing.
I got to be honest with you, Damon. I'm drawing a blank here.
He's young, right?
Yeah, of course, he's got youth on his side. You know, there's lots of time to improve here. And, yeah. You know, the more that he works with experienced veterans such as Michael Elgin, and, you know, there's plenty of guys on the New Japan roster that he could work with where he can really learn a lot from and grow. I don't think... Okay, I will say this. I think that this is one of the better Cody Hall singles matches that I've seen. We saw some cool stuff in this match. We saw him deliver a choke slam to Michael Elgin on the apron on the outside. And there was one spot in particular that was kind of scary. Michael Elgin did a power slam mm-hmm. to Cody on the outside. And you can distinctly hear Cody exclaim, "Jesus Christ," as soon as he got power slammed.
He didn't take that very well, did he?
No, he did not.
He did not. Okay, so let's talk a little bit here. And again, this is by no means laying the boots to a 24-year-old young adult who's making his way in the world of pro wrestling.
Is that how old he is, 24?
He's 24.
Wow.
Guess how long he's been wrestling?
Take a shot. I want to say that he started wrestling when he was 18 years of age.
Okay, so that was what? Do the math.
6 years.
Okay, 6 years, so it's 2006 to 2010, right?
Sure.
He's been wrestling since 2012.
Okay.
Okay, 2012.
So he started when he was 20.
So let's say for 4 years he's been an active pro wrestler, right? Take a guess at how many singles matches he had before coming to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, again, this match against Michael Elgin was his first singles match for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Okay? So how many singles matches do you think Cody Hall's had before he made it to New Japan Pro Wrestling?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that he had a dozen.
20.
Okay.
20 singles matches, about 20 singles matches, okay? About 7 in 2012, about 9 in 2013, and roughly 12 in 2014. It's 20 singles matches. Okay. How many tag matches? I'm asking a lot of questions of you, Colin, here today. But how many tag? Because I think there's this misconception of Cody Hall being this guy who literally just found a pair of wrestling boots and showed up in New Japan, right? It's really, this is not the case.
He showed up with a gold chain and a toothpick.
Right, exactly. That'd be awesome. Threw it in fucking Gator's face. Take a gander. So he signed, what, February of last year, 2015, right?
Right.
Started in New Japan. Take a guess at how many tag matches Cody Hall has had in this time.
In his time in New Japan?
Yeah.
Oh,
we know he's had one singles match, which right. was against Elgin. How many tag matches?
How many tag matches? Let's say 20.
20? No.
Am I overshooting or undershooting?
You're undershooting.
Okay, 50.
More. Wow, over
more.
100.
Over 100 tag matches. Over I guess I really 100. Haven't been paying attention.
Over 100. So right around 125. So here's my point in all this, guys. This is not some spring fucking chicken, right? Who's having his first go-round with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and who hasn't seen, you know, here's my point. They don't trust them to have a singles match, because why? He's not that good. Can I say that? Is that okay? He's not that good. Right? He's had 120-some-odd tag matches with some of the best pro wrestlers in the world. And here's another thing that I will say about Cody Hall. At least Cody Hall has the balls to say, okay, I'm going to go to New Japan and I'm going to live there and I'm going to dedicate my life to this. Absolutely.
Not a lot of people could do that, you know, completely no. uproot their life, move to a foreign country. Yep. And.
Yep. I agree. 100%. And I give him full fucking credit for that. But I expected more out of this match. I expected a little bit more. I don't think he had a good match at all. I think Michael Elgin helped him along tremendously in this match. And I think the limited stuff that Cody Hall did in this match didn't look that great at all. It really didn't. And I would go so far as to say, I could probably go around the country and find some independent pro wrestlers, weekend warriors, right, who wrestle once or maybe twice in a week, right? Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, whatever you want to do. What's that, 52 dates out of the year, right? If it's just Saturday, this guy has 120 something matches with some of the best talent in the world. I don't feel like he's learning as much as people seem to believe he's learning.
You know what else? The crowd during this match was dead quiet. You could hear Elgin calling spots at some point. Oh, that's how quiet it was.
You could hear people breathing in the fourth row. And again, this is not so much as I'm wagging a finger at Cody Hall, is that I'm wagging a finger at people who seem to think that there is this diamond in the rough or this hidden gem somewhere. What's the upside of Cody Hall? Like, what's the ceiling of Cody Hall? Here's what I think. I think the upside is Bad Luck Fale.
You know, yeah. What
I mean? Like the ceiling is Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah, I think you could be right.
Okay. So is Bad Luck Fale anything to write home about? Is he?
He is one of the better big men in the industry, I would say that.
When Tanahashi's in the ring with him.
Yeah, when Tanahashi's in the ring with him or Okada. Yeah.
Put anybody else in the fucking ring with him. You give me a break.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let's compare Cody Hall to someone who is more on his more in his pecking order, shall we say. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to rate Cody Hall on a scale of 1 to 10, and I want you to rate Juice Robinson on a scale of 1 to 10, and I kind of want you to compare those two, where you see them at.
I mean, they're both, you know, I don't know if I can put a number to either one of them, but here's what I will tell you. I will take Juice Robinson any day of the week.
That's what I was getting at.
He's head and shoulders above where Cody Hall is right now. Here's an even better one. Who would you rather have, Moose or Cody Hall?
A Moose.
Okay.
Any day of the week. Yes.
Okay. Right now. And would you rather, you see potential? Like, if you take potential into consideration, who do you think has more potential, Cody Hall or Moose?
Moose, because he's a natural athlete. I mean, you watch this guy in the ring.
I think Cody Hall is a specimen. I think Cody Hall is chiseled out of granite, if you will. He just doesn't seem comfortable in the ring. He just doesn't have I'm going to go so far as to say it's a clumsiness, but there's not a lot of smoothness in what he does.
I'm not even going to go so far as to say that he's chiseled out of granite. To me, he kind of looks a bit lanky and gangly. I would like to see him put on some more weight. I'm being honest,
I'm not gonna talk about anybody's fucking physique. You know, King Kong Bundy would fucking look better than me.
But the kid's like 6'8", and I don't know. He just looks a bit too lanky for. He looks kind of awkward when he's in the ring.
That's what I'm saying. He does look. It's just an awkwardness. It's an uncomfortableness. And again, we talk about how, you know, he's had a lot of. I would think that we would have gotten past this. I don't know. To me, I just feel like we would have gotten past this. And again, I think I could go on the independents around the country and find some. I think I don't want to give you a number because I don't want to name names, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that are out there on the independent scene that could probably easily fit into where Cody Hall is right now in his career and blossom quicker.
I can probably find someone who's working for Office Promotion here in the Lehigh Valley, WXW. I can find plenty of guys on that roster that are, you know, more suited for this position than Cody Hall. But
I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem to me like he's taking. Not that the interest isn't there, but like just that the progression is there that I would expect given those numbers that I'm looking at. I don't know. I just thought And especially with this match, I was kind of hoping I would see more. I think Elgin really helped that along, and I helped to make this match what it was. I don't know. I just, to me, Cody Hall just isn't there yet. He just isn't there yet. And for everybody who's kind of trying to hop on the Cody Hall bandwagon to kind of say, oh, there's a lot of potential, and he's really coming into his own character, and he's really feeling. I don't see it. Just don't say.
I think that he would be much more suited for WWE.
Oh yeah, listen, I think that's the end goal, Colin. I think that's an absolute end goal. And at the end of the day, the potential is there for him to make a lot more money there, right? And because for me, that's where he's always been headed from the jump, right? So I don't think there's anybody thinking that, you know, the IWGP Heavyweight Championship is his future. No, NXT is his future.
Oh yeah, you know what? You know what I say? Send him to Orlando. Put him in the weight room. You know, he can put on a couple pounds. And
I don't think that's it. I don't think it's physique is the issue, Colin. I think it's more of if anything, I don't want him to bulk up because I think him bulking up would be him being more, you know, awkward in the ring.
Well, I'm saying if they wanted to turn him into like this monster, you know, in Orlando, I think that's what you would need to do. But yeah, I just Cody Hall has not fit in quite as well as some of his peers in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So yeah, we saw Elgin win with the powerbomb here, and yeah, lots of awkward, uncomfortable spots in this match. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. We beat a dead horse. We spent 10 minutes on Cody Hall.
That is a record, a new record for the New Japan Puro cast.
Yeah.
All right, next match in the New Japan versus Bullet Club series on this event, Jay White versus Kenny Omega, a match that on paper we were salivating over when we saw this, and I thought that this was the match of the night, of course. And let's just talk for a moment about the greatness of Kenny Omega, who, you know, I might be biased, but Kenny Omega is my personal favorite in New Japan Pro Wrestling right now, and I love the banter that he does, not only when he's coming down to the ring, but when he's in the ring. Did you hear what he was saying to Tagger Hattori? He was.
I heard the beginning part, the power of Grayskull thing, the He-Man reference.
Yeah.
I got that.
And he was saying, I have to do a jobber match? What the hell, Tiger? Jesus Christ.
Did you really say
that?
I didn't hear that.
That's what he said.
Oh boy,
amazing!
And then I heard the end where he was like, "Boy, I got gassed out, and I wish the Bucks were here."
I hate it when the Bucks aren't here.
Hate it when the Bucks aren't here. Here's the thing. So this was an evening show, right? This Road 2 show was an evening show. Did you know that earlier that evening or earlier that day, there was a Suzuki-Gun show, right? We Are Suzuki-Gun was that afternoon, the 27th.
Yes, you were telling me,
right? And Jay White did double duty. Jay White had a fucking great, great day. So earlier in the day on the Suzuki-Gun show, it was him and Dave Finley against is it Kino and Hajime Ohara, and they are the Noah Junior Tag Champions, and they had a great fucking match. This was a great match. So they start the day with that tag match, and then Jay White finishes the day with arguably the best match of the night against Kenny Omega. Man, what a fucking guy this Jay White is. Jesus Christ.
So wait a minute. You're trying to say that Jay White is on a different level than Cody Hall? Is that what you're telling me?
Listen, I know somebody's going to say, well, you know, he's working the big man style. Okay, great. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Jay White is better than Cody Hall. Yes,
wow.
I'm absolutely saying this.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing out of your mouth, Damon McDonald.
There you go. There you go.
So we saw one spot in this match on the outside where Kenny Omega rolled Jay White up like a crepe. He rolled him up like a crepe on the padding on the outside and did a double stomp. I really enjoyed that spot.
Yeah. I will say one thing. You mentioned the crowd earlier. The crowd, I don't know where the crowd was for this show, or for especially this match. I don't know where they went. They were quiet, and that's disappointing to me. I thought they would be into this a little bit more. It didn't feel like it was. I like the reversal into the Boston Crab.
So the last couple minutes of this match especially were excellent. We saw Kenny Omega do his signature knee strike, and he went for the one-winged angel. However, Jay White reversed it, and like you said, he did the Boston Crab into an STF, and ultimately,
that's a payoff spot right there. That's for everybody who watches these opening matches, you know, these opening Young Lions matches. That's a payoff for every one of you guys. That's another reason why I really love New Japan Pro Wrestling, because they'll do that, and they'll do that often. And I know it, that didn't go over anyone's heads watching. You know, everybody knew that spot of, you know, and it paid off for everybody who's paid the time and put in the time for these Young Lions matches. So good on them. Good callback spot by them.
Yeah, so ultimately we saw Kenny Omega hit his knee strike on Jay White for the victory. So Kenny Omega picking up the win here over the Young Lion, Jay White.
Love it. You knew that was going to be a finish. I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind thought Jay White was winning this match, but it was a good match.
I did. I had to. No, I'm
did
kidding.
You? They got you.
I thought they were setting us up for a intercontinental title feud here, but
that'd be great. I'd be all in on that. Here's the bad news, though. I think from this point forward, things kind of fell apart. And
yes, they did.
And for me, my interest in this show took a nosedive. Took a fucking nosedive after that match.
All right. So the next match in our New Japan versus Bullet Club series was Yujiro Takahashi taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi. And look, Damon, I owe our listeners an apology here, because we were talking about this match last week, and you asked me what star ceiling I would give.
Yeah.
And I think, what did I say, three and a quarter, did I say?
I said if Tanahashi could pull off 3.5, he's the greatest wrestler to ever lace up the boots. You said we would be in the threes. We would be three.
I did. And Damon, we were not in three. And one of our listeners, one of our great listeners, actually called us out on Twitter. He is at Larrikin, LARRIKN. And he said, Tana versus Yujiro was only about a 2.75 star match. I can't hold PuroCast to their word now. So I apologize to that gentleman right there. Yes, you are correct. This was not a 3-star match. I would give it about 2.5 even.
I don't even know if I would go that far. Look,
I'm being generous.
I'm going to say it. Fucking Takahashi stinks. Stinks on ice. This is the worst Tanahashi match I have seen in years. And listen, we sat through that Yano bullshit, right? This match stunk. How do you have a bad match with Hiroshi Tanahashi? Like you would have to be drunk and a broken leg to have a fucking bad match with Hiroshi Tanahashi. Guess who found the way to fucking do it?
Yujiro Takahashi.
Yeah, that jerk off. They don't even. This was shit.
And you know what?
I hated this fucking match. This match made me fucking furious. How does this happen?
We've been talking too about how, you know, Yujiro, they're not even paying the money to have the girl come out with him anymore. And you know what? He didn't even come out to his entrance music, like his entrance music with the sax. He came out to the generic Bullet Club music. Like that's how little they care about Yujiro Takahashi in New Japan right now. And I don't even want to get into, you know, the
get the fucking hint. Stay home.
So the beginning of this match, Takahashi just goes after Tanahashi with the steel chair, and the ref gives no fucks at all that Takahashi's just beating Tanahashi with the steel chair. You know, I don't even want to go off on that, how little these referees in New Japan care.
Yeah, but that's always been. You know what? I just watched a Liger El Samurai match, and it was the best of the Super Juniors, or top of the Super Juniors, or whatever the fuck they named the tournament that year. And there was plenty of that shit going on. In the final match, you know, they're ripping off each other's masks and shit. And I love the match, don't get me wrong. It's been going on from the fucking beginning of time. You know, it's pro wrestling. The referees stink. We all know that. But yeah, sometimes it is tough to stomach. And this was a decent example of that.
So Tanahashi hits a low blow on Takahashi, sling blade, high fly flow, go home, end of story.
Dude, my notes were, here's how it started off, brawl by Takahashi to start, and then I have a line, right? And it's just scribble, it's kind of like a you know, like one of those heartbeat monitors. It's just a beep, 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 and then it just drops off. like the line is just like falls off a cliff. I didn't even want to write notes watching this match. I was so disgusted with it. How the fuck does this happen? I mean, seriously, just stay home. Just stay the fuck home. If you're out of your mind if you think Takahashi has has anything to give this company. It's listen, I get the fact that there are people in this company that have to lie down and put over stars, and this was how do you have a bad match with Hiroshi Tanahashi? This was terrible. Nowhere near 3 stars.
And the two drawing points for Yujiro Takahashi's character are now gone. You know, number one, the music, which I love that music. Number two, the girl. They're not even doing that anymore. So I have no use for him. I have no use for him.
Yeah, we sit here and we talk about Yoshihashi and the year that he's had and how much it's improved. And even, like I said, Tenzan, you know, Tenzan's another one where you can kind of say, you know, he's had a decent year. Fucking Takahashi. This match has, and again, we're talking, we're almost in April, we're late March, April. Guess what? Takahashi is by far the worst wrestler on that roster, right? And again, we just sat here for 10 minutes talking about Cody Hall and how much things just haven't, you know, we haven't seen much from him. Let's put it this way. Would you take Takahashi or would you take the potential of Cody Hall?
I'll take the potential of Cody Hall over Takahashi.
Absolutely. I would do that right now.
As a matter of fact, I really hope we don't see Yujiro in this year's G1 Climax. I don't know if I can handle it.
Yep. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, you're hoping, you know, Tonga gets in there. You're hoping some of these Ring of Honor guys find a spot.
Damon, I have a list of people who I do not want to see in the G1 Climax this year. I have a whole list.
And I think it starts with Takahashi. But here's the thing. Here's the problem with stuff like that. Again, people have to lie down. People have to lose for this tournament. You know, people have to go through this tournament with one win or no wins, right? Just for the thing to pan out the way that it should. That's Takahashi. That's his role. The problem is that his role, he doesn't even do that well. Like, he doesn't do that. There's no enjoyment. I'm telling you right now, when I see him, it's just like, oh, Christ. You're exactly right. You don't even get the pleasure of seeing the young lady come out with him.
Yeah.
An attractive young lady come out with him.
No Mao Chan, no music, no dice.
no seductive sax. No, nothing. Just him being him, and it stinks. Done.
All right, I think that's the end of our rant there on Yujiro Takahashi. So, next match in the New Japan Bullet Club series here, Tomoaki Honma versus Bad Luck Fale. Do you know what my notes say for this match, Damon?
I have, it was okay. that is exactly what I have.
I have Fale wins with the Bad Luck Fall. That's really all I have to say about this match. That's what happened.
Yeah, you know. Honma, I'm getting better. Honma,
yep, very good.
Is we went into this thinking this would be a perfect match. Maybe not a perfect match, but him just selling and his facial expressions and it just didn't work for me. This match, Folly's not good either. Folly's not good. He needs to be in there with the right guys. You would think that. And again, I said last week that Honma would be that guy. It didn't happen. I didn't feel it.
All right, so the last match in the New Japan versus Bullet Club series was Togi Makabe taking on Tama Tonga. I need to say one thing about Tama Tonga. Damn it, he really needs to lose the Kevlar vest and the camouflage pants. I just think it's such a shitty ring attire.
What are they, the Gorillas of Destiny?
Yes, God, G-O-D, the Gorillas of Destiny.
What a fucking horrible name.
That is a horrible name. I hate Tama Tonga's ring attire, but let's talk about the match a little bit. I thought this was a decent match. We saw Tonga hit the gun stun in tribute to his Bullet Club brethren, Carl Anderson. He went for his DDT finish, but Makabe reversed it into a suplex. Saw a big lariato from Makabe. He did his back suplex spot. And then we saw Tama Tonga's brother, Tonga Roa, come in and interfere. And I thought for a split second, oh my God, the referee isn't going to call for a DQ. He's going to let this finish. But no, he did call for a DQ. Makabe wins by disqualification. Tonga Roa, he's just destroying the Young Lions. The Young Lions are coming in. Tongarilla is just doing the fallaway slam on them. We saw Tama Tonga hit his... we saw them do a double team sort of DDT finish on Makabe. It almost looked like the Magic Killer. But yeah, kind of a cool double team DDT finish. Again, Makabe wins by DQ. Where was Honma in all this? Why didn't he come out and help his tag team partner? Was he still in the back?
Squashed. Yeah, he got squashed by Fala.
He was in the back icing up, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he got his ass handed to him. When I first saw the brother hit the ring, his makeup looks like fucking Papa Shango, dude.
It does. It terrible. Really does.
We got a new makeup critique with Doc Gallows no longer with us. It's going to be the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yep. God. G-O-D.
Christ. This match wasn't great. This match wasn't great at all. It was barely good. This tag team is not doing much for me. I was really hoping that we would see a Tama Tonga singles run. I am not thrilled with the idea of this G.O.D. tag team making waves in New Japan. So far, it's doing nothing for me. DQ finish? Okay, yes.
When was the last time we saw a DQ finish in New Japan?
Yeah, it hasn't. It's not often. I don't know. To me, this was flat. This was really flat, Colin.
I agree.
And again, three matches in a row where I'm just kind of like, oh, what the fuck?
Could you imagine if the ref just let this go? Like, he pretended like he didn't see Tongaroa.
Right? I mean, how many times has that happened, though? I mean, that's happened plenty of times. It happens every show. You could point to certain points in the show where obvious outside. I mean, every fucking, Young Bucks interference and, that.
But this was like right in his face. And
I mean, come on. Every one of them did a million times. Now he's going to call for the DQ?
Yeah. Yeah, now he calls for the DQ. So good officiating there.
Well, yeah. Listen, let's see what happens at Evasion Attack. But I'm not excited for the this, again, Gorillas of Destiny. I don't know why I have such a fucking problem with that name. It's
because it's a lame name.
It
let's
really
be honest.
Is lame, isn't it? All right.
It's
we'll
lame
see.
Ass name.
Let's
see. The main event of the evening was Los Ingobernables de Japón taking on Chaos. That is, of course, Okada, Yoshihashi, and the newest member, Hiroki Goto. I thought that this was a good match. Nothing special. Nothing that I would even say, go back and watch this match. We saw Bushi spray the mist in Okada's face. I know that's your favorite spot, Damon. Mm-hmm. Naito hits the Destino on Yoshihashi for the win. They beat down Ghetto after the match was over. Naito hits the Destino on Okada.
I'll tell you what the highlight of this match was. And I thought this was a decent match. I thought this was a good match. Between this and the Omega and Jay White, the best matches of the show.
Absolutely. I would say that this was number two.
Yeah, I would go, Omega White, I would go this number two, and then I would go actually opening tag match number three.
Yeah, not bad.
Yoshihashi, man. Yoshihashi. How about a fucking, all the near falls and the hope spots and the kickouts and... Yoshihashi is having a fucking great year, and I'm telling you right now, to me, in this of all the guys that are in that ring, in that six man, I really think Yoshihashi did the best. He's having a great fucking year, and I was the first person to shit all over Yoshihashi, and I would be the first person to fast forward or literally reach for my phone anytime I would see that stupid staff of his walking out to ringside.
I'll go even further than that. I voted for, in our PuroCast year-end awards, I voted Yoshihashi as my least favorite wrestler. And, if we're taking an early poll right now, I'm putting him down for most improved.
Me too. Without question, he's most improved so far this year. Here's what he needs. He just needs a dust-up. He needs a new look. If he changed his look a little bit, I mean, he's got the Heat Miser haircut, right? The red and the gold.
Nice reference there. I appreciate
you, buddy.
That one.
No worries. It's just, he just needs a new look. He needs a fresh look. if maybe a leather jacket, right, Colin? A little callback spot for us, right?
I was thinking about that the other day.
Oh, what, a leather jacket?
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, yeah. You know what? I think now is the time. You know, it's we're getting
now's the time. It's almost summer.
well, look, we're getting into spring. Well, it is spring, and I think spring is good leather jacket weather, right? You know? No, am I wrong?
No, I listen. Any day's a good leather jacket.
I'm gonna get a long one too,
like a trench coat.
No, not like a trench coat, but it's gonna go like below the waist, but not.
No.
All right.
I'll send you. I sent you pictures of Kushida, right?
You did.
That's what you want.
I don't want it to be too puffy, though.
No, you don't want a puffy one. No, you don't want a puffy one. I'll send you the pictures again. Come on, get with it. Yoshihashi again, hero of the night.
Yeah.
To me, an MVP performance once again. I'm all in. I look forward to seeing Yoshihashi matches now. Look forward to seeing it. And I would love to see something done with him. Again, we're not going to drop a belt on him. We're not going to give him a monster push. He's not going to take Nakamura's spot.
He's going to headline Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Right. Well, he's not winning G1. But you know, let's give him something. He's working hard. He's had a good year so far. It's April. He's had a good couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not going to win G1, but hey, I'm looking forward to him in the G1. I think he's going to have some good matches if he's in it this year, which I assume he will be. And yeah, so Okada just really selling this beatdown. You know, him and Ghetto walking away just defeated and broken down, and Los Ingobernables de Japón standing in the middle of the ring victorious, and Naito cuts a promo at the end and says that he is coming for Okada's belt at Invasion Attack. You know, our Invasion Attack preview isn't until next week's show, but Damon, what is your level of interest in the IWGP heavyweight title match as of right now?
Very high, and I'm interested in I'll give you a little sneak peek. I kind of feel that Naito is winning this thing. I really feel like this is all leading up to Naito winning this. I'm interested in the match. Don't get me wrong, in the match quality and all that. But I'm really more interested in the perception of the fans and the gate and the house and the buzz and the feeling afterward. That's really what I'm most interested in. I'm because you know this Invasion Attack show is pretty important in the sense that you know Tanahashi's not going to be in a huge role. Nakamura obviously is not there. AJ Styles is not there. Kota Ibushi is not there. There's a lot of things there that you know, and I know that they said that tickets were moving briskly, right? Tickets were moving well. So I'm curious. I think that's really one of the key indicators for me is, are people behind this kind of this refresh and these new programs with Naito kind of leading that charge? I'm wondering. Because, you know, we talk a lot to people. You know, people are very excited about Naito and his newfound push and newfound direction with Los Ingobernables. Here's where the payoff is. This has been a year in the making. Let's see what he's got. You know, let's see what he's got. I truly believe that he's winning the belt here.
I agree. And one interesting point that I wanted to make, or one thing I wanted to point out rather about this Los Ingobernables gimmick regarding their demographic, I think it's mostly female. Like, if you look at shots in the crowd, you see so many Japanese girls wearing these Los Ingobernables caps. So it's just kind of an interesting thing that I noticed.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but...
Yeah. Well, I think Colin's scoping up potential girlfriends is what he's doing.
Hey, I'm always doing that when I watch these Cork and Hall shows.
All right, well, I'm watching it purely for the athletic endeavor in front of me.
Half and half for me, you know.
All right. Look, I think, you know, like I said, let's see how that goes. Let's see if this takes off a little bit more. I think the end is it this leads to a chase of Okada with the belt, but to me, you know, these summer months, these spring and summer months, the Dontaku show, and the shows leading up to, We got the Ring of Honor shows here in the States, the tour in May.
Yep, you'll be at the New York City one.
I'll be at the New York City one. I'm thinking about the Chicago one. I'm thinking about the Chicago one or the Toronto one. I don't know. It depends on what my schedule looks like. But let's see. You know, let's see if this is in fact a little test run for Naito and see how he does with him on top of the company here.
So before Invasion Attack, we do have one more show on the schedule, and that is going to take place next Friday, April 1st. We've got another Cork and Hall show on NJPWWorld.com. And that one, I believe, if you're not a current subscriber of NJPW World, which if you're listening to this, I'm sure you are, but if you're not a current subscriber, this one is going to be free. And I'd like to just quickly go through the card for this show next week and kind of gauge your level of interest in these matches. All right, so the first match for this Road to card features the two new Young Lions, and correct me if I'm pronouncing these names wrong, Kanemitsu versus Kawato.
Yeah, I would help you with those pronunciations, Colin. But unfortunately, and I do have a kind of a clearance. I have my phone here and I'm getting text messages, and I have some pretty distressing news, some pretty sad news. So, and it's not New Japan related, but it is Japanese pro wrestling related, and it's not good news. So Joe Doering, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Joe Doering, who was in All Japan. We mentioned him many times on this very show. Joe Doering is in communication with our good friend Eric from the Classic Japanese Pro Wrestling Board, and obviously Eric and I are good friends, and we text often. And unfortunately, sometimes when you get bad news, it's not good. So let me give you the gist. So Eric was congratulating Joe for coming back from his knee surgery. He was out on the shelf for his knee for quite a while. And Eric hadn't heard from Joe for a little bit. You know, he was congratulating him on his return to the Champions Carnival in April, and he hadn't heard from him, and he finally got back to Eric, and Eric passed this along. Unfortunately, Joe Doering has brain cancer, apparently, and he already had his operation to take out the tumor, and he's currently going through chemotherapy and radiation in about a week from now. So, I did get an okay to kind of mention this. By the time many of you will hear this, word would have already gotten out. But listen, I'm not a big thoughts and prayers kind of guy, but thoughts and prayers going out to Joe Doering. And man, 2016 has been such a shit year. All Japan will have an announcement soon on this, but I think the best we can say, Colin, is we wish nothing but the best for Joe and a speedy recovery, and hopefully he's able to come through out of this. And it's just sad news for Joe Doering.
Absolutely, you know, like you said, it's 2016 has been a very tough year thus far in the pro wrestling community, and yeah, there's nothing more I can say. Our deepest thoughts, prayers go out to Joe Doering and his family.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hoss, and he's a tough dude. But yeah,
brain cancer is brain cancer, you know.
It's this is the information that I'm getting now is this is no not something that we're going to take lightly. This is sad. So fingers crossed. You know, if everybody can take a moment out of their day to kind of send some thoughts Joe's way, that would be great. Now I'm all discombobulated, and this is turning into a little bit of a dysfunctional podcast here, but I think that's secondary with the news that we just got here. That's coming out, and I think more information will be released shortly. But yeah, thoughts and prayers are going out to Joe and his family. So tough day here.
Yeah, so on a more.
Now let's transition into a.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to go from, you know.
It's like Casey Kasem, that bit with Casey Kasem, you know. I can't transition out of a slow song. It's the guy's dog died. You want me to come back with an upbeat number?
Yeah, going from something so serious to a preview for a New Japan card is kind of a difficult thing to do, but hey, we're going to do it here. Let's start off with our preview for this April 1st show, the last Road 2 show before Invasion Attack. And like I was saying earlier, the two new young lions, Kanemitsu versus Kawato. I actually haven't seen these two wrestle yet. I didn't watch the I don't know if they were on the Young Lion show that was on New Japan World. I never watched that. So this will actually be my first time watching these two in the ring. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot. I mean, it's not going to be, you're not going to get blown away. They're still in their early stages of young lioness. But, they're not going to blow you out of the water. It's going to look a lot like amateur style wrestling with very easy moves, headlocks, chin locks, arm bars, that kind of stuff.
Boston crab finish.
Can almost guarantee it. So, fingers crossed that they'll get in and out of there safely and quickly.
All right, next match, we're going to see Jay White versus David Finlay. And it'll be interesting to see if David Finlay can finally figure out that counter for Jay White's Lion Tamer and pull out a victory.
Yeah, here's what we see. We're going to see David Finlay turn on Jay White, join Bullet Club. And now, of course,
I'm in. Let's do it.
Look, these two are always highlights, right? And on a big show, how can you not look forward to this? They're good. We say it 1,000 times. They're good. You're gonna love it. Let's do it again. I'd be interested to see if they progress the storyline a little bit. Let's see. But no, I think you're looking at a solid, 5 to 8 minute match, of course.
Our next match is going to be a 6-man tag featuring the team of Tiger Mask, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Kushida, taking on Ghetto, Trent Beretta, and Rocky Romero.
More Roppongi Vice wins, right, to set up Invasion Attack. I think that's an easy call.
Or a Kushida win over Ghetto. You never know.
You never know. I'm gonna go Roppongi Vice picking up the win.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Next match, the team of Nakanishi and Nagata taking on Yoshihashi and Toru Yano. I'm gonna say Yoshihashi pulls out the win for his team here over Nakanishi.
I would love that, actually. I would really love that. I mean, let's
sounds
throw
good, doesn't it?
Let's throw Yoshihashi a bone. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the tag team of Nagata and Nakanishi pick up the win here. But I'd like to see Yoshihashi, get rewarded for all his hard work. Not going to happen.
Next match, another tag match with the team of Taguchi and Shibata taking on Kojima and Tenzan. Your favorite team, Tenkozy.
What we got? Tenkozy? I'm sorry, I'm getting text messages still.
I know. Very
still. It's kind of hard to concentrate on these matches when shit fucking news like this happens. Oh,
I know. It's hard to talk about Tenkozy when you've
It's hard for me to get fucking excited about Mongolian chops when a real fucking good guy. Man. Fuck. I don't want to say who cares, but who the fuck cares?
I'm going to say Tenzan defeats Taguchi here to build up for his Invasion Attack match.
This show is a Road 2 show that's leading to Invasion Attack. I think everyone here could pick the winners of these matches. We're going to do it here for you on the podcast.
Stakes are high, Damon.
Stakes are high. Go ahead. Next, we have a
10-man tag match.
I know
you're in. You're all in here.
Colin, fucking... All right, good.
Juice Robinson, Michael Elgin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tomoaki Honma, and Togi Makabe taking on Tangaroa Tamatanga, Yujiro Takahashi, Bad Luck Fale, and Kenny Omega.
Look, that's not a bad tag match. Is it elimination style or is it all one fall?
That I don't know. You know what? I hope that this is a Survivor Series style match, elimination style.
I would make it even more interesting. It's not bad. That's not bad on paper.
With Takahashi as your sole survivor.
Are you upset with Takahashi? Are you disappointed with him?
Yeah, I kind of am. You know, I sent you a text message when I was watching the Road 2 show. I said, boy, he doesn't have that Ric Flair or Rick Rude thing going on.
Mm-hmm. He don't have shit going on.
No, he's there. He's collecting a paycheck. They're not even investing the time or the energy for him to come out to his proper entrance music. No Mao Chan. No nothing for Takahashi.
This should be a good match. I think it'll be a good match on paper. It sounds good. I'm trying to be a professional broadcaster here, and just in some of the news that I'm getting, man, fucking A. This is, I mean, a lot of this stuff will break later on. I mean, I'm sure Eric will have a post on the classic Japanese board. Again, All Japan is going to have something. Obviously, they're going to say this is a serious fucking thing, and it's just terrible, man. What the fuck? Don't sit here and tell me about Easter, Colin Miller. I don't know what Easter has anything to do. Well,
yeah, I don't know what Easter has anything to do with this either. But
I'm an angry man right now. I'm angry at the world. Shit like this fucking shouldn't happen. Ugh. Fuck. All right, go on.
Main event for the Road 2 show. The team of Hirooki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, and Kazuchika Okada taking on Bushi, Evil, and Tetsuya Naito.
Missed pin 1, 2, 3. We're done, right?
Yep. That pretty much covers it.
Let's do this justice. What do we got? Missed. What do we got? Missed. What do we got? Los Ingobernables and who?
Chaos.
Chaos. All right. Yeah. That's missed. Somebody's taking a fall. Who's it? Chaos.
Yeah. So Goto, Ishii, and Okada.
Ishii's taking a fall.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. We're going to see Ishii turn
see
into.
Again.
Yep, I was going to say Ishii's going to turn into the Incredible Hulk. He's going to get hit with a Destino, and that's it.
That's our go home show, right? To Invasion Attack.
Yep.
That's the last one that's going to be on the network until we get to the Invasion Attack
show. Yep, until Invasion Attack, which is going to take place on April 10th. So next week, we're going to be doing our Invasion Attack preview, given all of our predictions. But like I said, at the top of the hour here, this is a big weekend for pro wrestling, and we have a lot of former and current New Japan stars that are going to be in the Dallas area having some fantastic matches. And right off the bat, Damon, are you going to be watching the NXT show for Nakamura?
Yes, absolutely. That's Friday night at like 10 o'clock Eastern,
yes,
right?
Yes, 10 p.m. Eastern. And Nakamura is going to be making his WWE debut against Sami Zayn. So that should be a great match. And the atmosphere is going to be off the hook.
It better be a fucking match. And here's the only thing I fucking want. And I'm angry today. Today I'm really fucking angry. So here's all I want. Vince, stay the fuck away from the arena. Give me one fucking favor. Just let Shinsuke Nakamura do what he does for one fucking night. Give me this one fucking night where you don't get your stupid 70-year-old hands all in the mix of this, right? Just let him go. Don't let him play to the fucking camera. Don't let him fuck. Just let him go. Him and Sami Zayn can be great. Just leave it the fuck alone. That's all I ask. Just don't touch it. Stay home. Stare at your wife. Stare at Stephanie for a half an hour.
Babysit your grandchildren. Damn it.
Go play on your phone. Whatever you do, go lift weights. Go. I don't know. We'll do whatever. You and Kevin Dunn can go fucking go get some Mongolian chops somewhere in Dallas. Just stay away. Just stay out of it.
Well, look, I'm sure Vince is going to be there at, you know, he's going to be at this event, I'm sure.
I don't want him there.
He's going to be dumbfounded at the reaction for Shinsuke Nakamura. He's not going to get it. He's going to be like,
the reaction is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, it's going to be off the charts. And Vince is going to be sitting there, you know, wow, why are they cheering for this samurai?
Samurai?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a
stereotype that I
just want one night before you fucking destroy and ruin it. Just give me one night where you just don't. I don't even want you showing this NXT show is really stacked.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be awesome if they just let them fucking do what they do best. take your fucking stupid hands off of it and let them do what they're supposed to do and what they can do. Please, just throw me that one fucking bone, please. Please, stay home. Stay home. Worry about your big fucking football stadium show where you're going to get 85,000 people and how you're going to figure out how to fuck Roman Reigns is going to walk out of there without a crowd of boo and that clusterfuck cage match that you got booked. Worry about that. Take care of that. Sit and ponder those things. You got a Raw the next night. Stay away from NXT. Stay away.
It's going to be a shit show. I can't wait, personally. This is going to be something to see.
Just stay home. Just stay the fuck home.
Yeah, look, I said to you at the top of the hour, I didn't want to turn this, I didn't want to turn the PuroCast into shake these Japanese ropes, you know, on the Voices of Wrestling Network. But, you know, I feel like we did need to talk about some of these old and new Japan stars that are going to be wrestling this weekend. And, of course, I'm sure everybody that listens to this show is at least curious about Nakamura's match against Sami Zayn. And one interesting thing I did read is that Nakamura, he has his entrance music all set in stone, and he said that it was like a light bulb went off in his head. Yeah. So, hey, if Nakamura approves, then I'm optimistic.
He's coming out to grab them cakes.
he's coming out to make
don't
a trainer.
Don't go messing with a country boy, country boy, country boy. Don't go messing with a country boy. No, fuck. It's just one night. Just let him be him, and then he can be fucking... You know,
you can change his name. You can make
whatever you want to do. Right. Exactly.
Whatever.
Fucking whoever you want to make him. Just give me one night. Just give me one night.
So let's talk about some of these Evolve shows, which, man, the cards for these shows are stacked. I mean, the first Evolve show, I think it's Evolve 58. It's on that Friday as well. It's going to be taking place 5 p.m. Eastern. The big match for that one, at least in my eyes, is Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Will Ospreay. That, come on, how could that not be a good match?
You know, the Evolve shows look... They have two shows, don't they? The first and the second, right?
58, yeah, yeah. 59. So 58 is on April 1st, that Friday, and then 59 on April 2nd is going to feature Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. Need I say any more?
That has the potential to be the match of the weekend. That has the potential to be the match of the week.
That has the potential to be the match of the millennium.
This is going to be an exciting couple of days, an exciting weekend. Now, why don't you, and again, we're going to give a free plug here because I think this is important to do. All these shows, these Evolve shows, obviously the NXT show is going to be on the network, but these Evolve shows, as well as CZW, as well as even, you know, for you, this is a big one here, Kaiju Big Battle.
Yes, Kaiju Big Battle taking place also on that Friday, April 1st at 12:55 a.m. Eastern.
What?
Yeah, I know. Kind of a weird start time, right?
Oh, I will. I don't think I'm watching that live. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to have to miss... who the fuck is this? I think I'm going to have to miss Dusto Bunny and Steam-Powered Tentacle Boulder. That might be my favorite name of all time. Steam-Powered... This is an actual... Steam power. This is main event number four. Arm wrestling championship match. Dusto Bunny defends his title against Steam Powered Tentacle Boulder. This might have me stay up. I might need to stay up and watch this.
And you will be able to watch this live. And I've never ordered an event from them before, but if you go to WWNLive.com, you can order all of these events. Of course, both Evolve shows, Kaiju Big Battle, also this big Mercury Rising Super Show that's going to take place on April 2nd. This is going to be something to see. Kota Ibushi going to be in the house. Kota Ibushi's going to be there.
He's in that six man. Kota Ibushi, Johnny Gargano, who last week I was corrected, and I can't believe I totally this is I said it was Joey Ryan,
yes,
and Candice, and it's actually Candice and Johnny Gargano, and I knew that, but I was a fucking dope, and somebody corrected me, so good on them.
That was our buddy La Ricken.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, I deserve to be kicked to the curb on that one. Yep, Kota Ibushi, Johnny Gargano, TJ Perkins against Will Ospreay, Tommy End, and your boy Marty Scurll.
Marty Scurll.
Timothy Thatcher against Sammy Callahan, against Zack Sabre Jr. versus Chris Hero. Should be great.
How could it not be?
Listen, this is a great weekend for pro wrestling. And, you know, shockingly, not a lot of this has to do with New Japan. I mean, it does, because you got Ricochet,
yeah,
and
Will Ospreay,
and even Kota Ibushi, who's not coming back. He did the DDT show, right? He did that that big DDT show, which was, you know, it was what it was. It was a DDT show.
We saw a toilet pile driver. Come on.
We did. And that's it. He in his press conference, he was like, okay, that was my last DDT match. I'm going to go see the world. I put that in air quotes. And the world apparently is Orlando, Florida. And we'll see. So, yeah, this weekend should be really good. This is well worth shelling out some bucks for some of these shows.
Absolutely. And again, if you go to WWNLive.com, I'm not sure, maybe one of our listeners can help us out with this one. If there is like a package deal where you can pay one flat fee and get all these events, I don't know about that. But I mean, come on, you're going to see Kota Ibushi, you're going to see Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. If that doesn't sell this for you, then nothing will.
There's a Shimmer card for those of you who are into the Shimmer, the women's athletics of Shimmer. Evolve shows, Kaiju. There's something for everybody. There's a combat. There's a CZW show. So if that's your cup of tea, if you like the barbed wire matches, you'll have one of those. There's something for everybody on this. This weekend's going to be fucking fun.
If you're in the Dallas area as well, I don't know if these are going to be iPay-per-views, but Ring of Honor has their Super Card of Honor going on, nights 1 and 2. It's starting Friday, April 1st, Saturday, April 2nd. Don't know if they're going to be broadcast live, but if you're in Dallas, you know, check out some Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody who's there, these shows are sold out, by the way. So it's not like you're going to be able to get in. But, yeah, I'm looking. I don't know if the Ring of Honor shows are on demand or live. I don't think they're live, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they're going to be available on demand afterwards.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, this is good stuff. So a good weekend of pro graps coming up.
Right. And one point I wanted to make. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but Evolve, a Northeastern indie promotion, Evolve, guess what? They have a Roku app.
Yeah.
They have a Roku app, yet the second largest pro wrestling company in the world does not. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. I agree. Listen, we did beat that dead horse.
Evolve could figure it out, but New Japan,
listen, I don't know what the quality is. I mean, I don't know of a lot of people, and I'm trying to rack my short-term memory, which is fading fast in my old age. I don't know of many people having many streaming issues with the Evolve stuff. So, you know, fingers crossed. I'm sure that the demand will be high. I'm sure they're going to get a nice little a number for some of these shows with people purchasing. So fingers crossed that the stream will be good. I'm in. I'm going to buy it. I'm looking on their website. I don't see a package deal. I kind of wish that they would, but doesn't look like that's the case. So, but I'm in. I'll definitely be checking out many of these shows.
Yeah, so just to wrap this up in a nice little ball, once again, New Japan, they're having their last Invasion Attack show from Korakuen Hall on April 1st. That's going to be free if you're not already a subscriber. You got Nakamura making his debut Friday night, NXT. You got those two Evolve shows this weekend. Kota Ibushi wrestling a giant crab. This weekend has literally something for everyone. So there you go.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so Damon, I think that our next show, what are we going to be doing? Next week, we are going to be giving our official Invasion Attack preview show, giving all our listeners our predictions, doing a rundown of the card, and I'm sure that's going to get everybody pumped up if you're not already excited for this Invasion Attack show taking place on April 10th.
Yeah, it should be fun. I think everybody is excited for Invasion Attack. I know they have the English crew going over.
That's right, and I'm sure you know the word's out by now. It's Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino doing the English commentary. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it should be good. I enjoy Steve Carino. I know some people think he's a little too a little too jokey. I like the jokes. I like his thing. I think they have nice chemistry together, Kevin Kelly and Steve Carino. And here's the thing with Steve. Steve can really Steve has a lot of stories, and if Steve sticks with good stories and kind of telling tales during this show, this would be good and interesting and fun, and I think the English team will do a good job. Fingers crossed. I know Kevin Kelly is very excited to be heading over once again. A little early this time. We got this news a little early, right?
We got the inside scoop.
Yeah, we got the inside scoop. I know he's excited to go, and like I said, I think it's a good thing. There's big plans coming up for the English speaking side of the New Japan broadcast. So good for them.
Alrighty, so everybody remember to subscribe to us on iTunes. If you do that, you will get each and every new PuroCast episode delivered to the device of your choice as soon as we upload them. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher Radio. Follow us on Twitter at PuroCast. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NewJapanPuroCast. And also you can listen to us as well on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. So remember to subscribe to them on iTunes as well. So like I said, we're going to be back here next weekend, or this coming weekend really, to talk about the review the Road 2 show and preview the Invasion Attack card. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. Everybody enjoy the great weekend of pro wrestling, and we'll catch you guys next week right here on the New Japan PuroCast.